Here we go. It's a Tuesday edition of the Sports Rush. Time to go home. Two down, three to go with this work week. Coming up on the show, we've got Mike Nutter, TimCast president. We've also got Dalton Lawson, senior baseball player from the Heritage Patriots, who's made his college choice. And, of course, we've been talking to a number of athletes that are making college decisions during the summer. And so we'll talk to Dalton Lawson coming up a little bit later in the show. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Questions, comments, or suggestions. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. If you haven't done so already, you can find us at 1380 The Fan, at Sports Rush 1380, at Brett Rump Sports, and at Caleb Hatch. You can also like our Facebook page. We are at facebook.com/1380TheFan. Right now, the number to know is 447-8500, 447-8500. If you'd like to play Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia, chance to take on me with a list of events that all happen in the same calendar year. We guess the year one by one. Caleb gives us the events. And if you can beat me, you get a large pizza from Pizza Hut right now with Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. Call to be a winner at 447-8500, 447-8500. Well, the news just keeps getting better for Central Noble star Connor Asesian. We've kind of followed the development of this kid from the time he was getting non-D1 offers a year ago, but boy, has he upped his stock this summer. The last three offers that Connor Asesian has received came from Creighton, Wake Forest, and now Butler is added to the mix. He has well over 20 Division I college offers, including Purdue, Fort Wayne, and Ball State. I have no idea where he's going to go. Loyola of Chicago is on the list. Valparaiso is on the list. A lot of impressive schools, all sizes, from lower mid-majors all the way to power conference teams. And now Butler out of the Big East joins Creighton from the Big East Conference in offering the Central Noble Cougar. Wake Forest from the ACC. You can't get much better as far as basketball conferences than the ACC, although some would argue the Big Ten is right there with them. But it's been a pretty productive summer for Connor Asesian. He's got that chance to play with some of the elite ball players in AAU summer basketball, and because of that, he's getting the exposure and he's playing well, and so the stock just keeps rising for Connor Asesian. Once again, 447-8500, looking for someone to play our Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. Your chance to win a large pizza from Pizza Hut, 447-8500, if you want to play Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. News from the NFL today. Rams running back Cam Akers has apparently torn his Achilles. Now, the Rams are not a deep team because they invest so much in star players, they don't have a tremendous amount of depth. In fact, Ben Skowronek, who just got drafted or signed by the Rams, he is listed right now as a second string running or wide receiver. So already he's second team on the depth chart. So it's not like the Rams have tons of depth. They basically have built around three or four superstars, and a lot is invested in quarterback, defensive line, and in corner. But Cam Akers was pretty much the guy that was going to carry the load in the backfield. They don't have a lot of depth at running back. They're probably going to have to go find somebody to replace his spot on the roster. They don't have somebody to just move up into that spot. Started to think about whether Marlon Mack would be trade bait for the Colts to try to maybe get a corner or maybe get a wide receiver. I look at the Rams roster, and I'm not sure the guy the Colts would need is on that roster. But I do think the Colts' depth at running back is a real asset for the Colts right now. And last year, they were able to be successful without Marlon Mack available. He's a good talent, should have good value, but he's coming back from the injury. Is he going to be the same running back? The Colts got him on a very team-friendly deal for one-year contract at $1 million, $1 million to sign, $1 million to be paid to play. That's very, very team-friendly considering his statistics from before he got hurt. And so it's kind of one of those prove-it years for Marlon Mack. Show us what you've got coming off the injury. And Chris Ballard has kind of had a passion for these kind of deals where you find somebody that has been a talented player that had an injury and maybe it lowered their free market value. And all of a sudden you've got a guy that gets signed to try to prove it. Guy like a Devin Funchess is one that comes to mind, but for Marlon Mack, he's kind of on that deal. I don't know if he would be somebody the Colts would part with, but they do have tremendous depth. You've got Jonathan Taylor, obviously the starter, but even without Marlon Mack, you'd have Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins to back up. I think Hines is going to be used in a lot of different specialty situations, but I don't know. Maybe Marlon Mack would be available if the Rams came calling. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Also, 447-8500 if you want to play our Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. Caleb, we got you already. You've got all your list of events. We're just waiting now for somebody to call in and play. Hey, it doesn't hurt. It's painless, and you get a chance to win a large pizza from Pizza Hut. So call us. Give it a shot, 447-8500. The only ones that are embarrassed by doing this are usually me. So it's usually, you know, the caller gets out easy. I'm the one that looks like a fool sometimes. But if you want to play, 447-8500. So tonight, it's Bucks Suns Game 6. You're going to have a chance to see this one. I know, Caleb, you had kind of a screwed-up schedule, but you'll be able to stay up and watch this one tonight, won't you?
Yeah, I'll probably catch the tail end of the game. But again, I'm not expecting the Suns to do anything. I mean, that loss the other night, after the momentum they had at the end, I mean, that to me seemed like a backbreaker.
The loss for the Suns?
Yeah.
Well, which game? Game 4 or game 5? Game 5, they came out at home and built that big lead in the first quarter, but it was evaporated and gone by halftime. And then they could never get back in it. The Bucks pulled away and had a double-figure lead. Now, Phoenix did make that last push down the stretch and had the ball stripped away from Devin Booker, the highlight that we've seen over and over again as Drew Holiday stole the ball away from Devin Booker and then threw the alley-oop to Giannis to put it away. But I thought maybe Game 4 was the one you're referencing, because that was the one I felt like Phoenix let slip away. They had a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter of Game 4 and didn't win. That's why I still give Phoenix a chance in this series. I'm not writing them off, and I'm not handing the trophy to the Milwaukee Bucks. Yes, if I have to make a pick, I might lean toward the Milwaukee Bucks, but I think this Phoenix team is going to come out with a fighter's chance, and I don't write them off. You know, in their locker room, all they're saying is, let's find and come together for one great game. We win it on the road in Milwaukee in Game 6. We've got a chance to claim a championship on our home floor. And it's a revenge game. Milwaukee just took one in Phoenix. So I think we'll see the best that Phoenix can offer. Question is, what will Milwaukee's response be? And so I think it'll be a terrific game tonight. We've got a caller. We're ready to play. All right, so let's get to the phone line and find out who we've got lined up to play today's edition of Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. Who's this?
Yes, Cameron.
Cameron, how are you doing this afternoon?
Yep. I'm all right. How are you guys?
Doing well. Have you heard us play Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia before?
Yeah, I have.
And so the way it works is we're going to have Caleb give us an event one by one. Every event that he gives us is an event that happened in a particular calendar year. All we have to do is guess what year he is referring to or what year these events happen. And so it's a pretty simple game. The winner of this contest will get a large pizza from Pizza Hut, a Pizza Hut large card, good for one large pizza at your hometown Pizza Hut restaurants. Caleb, take us away.
It's time for Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia on the Sports Rush.
All right. Clue number one. The Yankees won the World Series.
We get one guess. One guess. Cameron, this isn't even a fair contest. You know, in Caleb's defense, he prepared this like 5 minutes ago. So it wasn't like he spent a lot of time. So, I mean, he, you know, this... we're not going to get this. Well, there's no chance we're going to get this, but I'm going to let you go ahead and try.
Oh, I'm a young guy, and I know I don't think the Yankees have won it for a while, but I don't know. So I'm going to say, like, 2001.
I'll say 1992. Yeah, we took 2 years off the list, so let's get to event number two.
Okay. Number two, Kari Webb becomes the first ever woman golfer to earn more than $1 million in prize money in one season. Happened in this year.
Cameron, this is where you have an opportunity to pass or play.
I'll play. We'll go with 2004.
I'll try 1996. Caleb, please, for the benefit of all our listeners, including Cameron, our contestant, there was no cheating.
No.
You were shocked.
Yes.
Why were you so shocked? Because you're just not accustomed to me getting these right.
Yes, especially this early. I expected you guys to come close to getting it in the next couple of clues. Tiger Woods turns professional. The Browns moved to Baltimore. And the last one was Muhammad Ali lit the Olympic cauldron.
Okay, Cameron.
Which that one was a giveaway.
Yeah, that was obviously a giveaway. In fact, I heard Dan Patrick's show talking about that at length this morning here on 1380 The Fan. All right, so Cameron, I'll tell you what. You're a good sport. You called in to play. The game didn't last too long because, once again, I was magnificent. But we're going to go ahead and give you that large pizza to Pizza Hut anyway. So stay on the line. Caleb will get some info from you, and we'll send you off your large pizza, okay?
It sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Yep, that is Cameron joining us for our Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. 1996. I wish we had a video camera rolling when I called out 1996 and Caleb's eyebrows almost touched his hairline. That's just how shocked the look was on his face. That I actually pulled that out of thin air. At least he thinks it was out of thin air. No, I had a pretty good idea of what range of years. I thought it was about a 2 or 3 year range and happened to get it right. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Madison text line. 46862, questions, comments, or suggestions. We'd love to hear from you on our Parkview Sports Madison text line. Don't forget, we've got the big night coming at the Tin Caps. That is on August 12th. It is a Thursday, and it is a chance for you to join me and Caleb for the 1380 The Fan Tin Caps Treetops Party. Just get your all-inclusive ticket right now by going to 1380thefan.com, or you can visit the Facebook or Twitter page. Space is limited, $49.50 for the ticket, but here's what you get. First of all, you get an all-you-can-eat buffet food dinner. So, I mean, that alone is what, 20, 25 bucks easy worth of food. Then you get your draft beer and bottled wine. That's worth another 15, 20, 25 bucks. Then you get a special edition commemorative 1380 The Fan Tin Caps Treetops Party t-shirt, only available if you purchase one of these tickets. That in itself worth another 25 bucks. And all the proceeds will benefit the Cancer Services of Northeast Indiana. We didn't even mention the admission into the Tin Caps game and to be able to sit in the rooftop section, which normally is a group area. So this is a rare opportunity for you to be part of our party. We're inviting you, allowing you to buy individual tickets. So get them now by going to 1380thefan.com. The whole event will be hosted by me, Brett Rump, and the Sports Rush. Buy your tickets, 1380thefan.com. We'll see you on August 12th for the 1380 The Fan Tin Caps Treetops Party. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we've got Tin Caps President Mike Nutter. It's all part of the Sports Rush Tuesday edition on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. Well, it's a big week back at Parkview Field. The boys are back in town. And they'll start a homestand tonight and continue all week long against the first place Cincinnati Reds affiliate, Dayton Dragons. Joining us to talk a little Tin Caps baseball and everything that's happening downtown is Tin Caps President Mike Nutter. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon. Great to be back on with you.
Always great to be back with you. Of course, we know a couple of weeks ago going into the last homestand that the attendance was kind of opened up, that now you can sell to pretty much full capacity. it's taken a little while for fans, I think, to really embrace the idea of getting back into the downtown ballpark, but there's no better time than now to get your tickets, come out, and enjoy Tin Caps baseball.
Absolutely. You know, we're over 4,000 tonight, but I think the way you teed it up is accurate. I think that long-term, the prognosis is as strong as ever for the Comets, Tin Caps, Mad Ants. I do think behaviors are a little different right now. I think for all we've been through, for all of the people being careful, for now this resurgence of the Delta variant, I think some people are taking their time coming back. That being said, the crowds look great for this week coming up. Friday and Saturday with fireworks should be great again. But I agree that it's just not quite as, the people haven't quite responded as quickly as maybe we had hoped.
Well, and I think it's going to get there. But like you say, it's just because you tell them they can come doesn't mean they're all going to just flood through the gates. And I think it's a fair expectation that sometimes fans are dipping their toes in the water before they dive in. I get that. And so I think crowds will continue to grow as confidence grows. And these Tin Caps, they're starting to get some of their, how do I put it? Some of their flaws are being taken care of a little bit. How about the pitching last week? Especially, they had some great bullpen pitching.
Man, there's no doubt about it. I was happy for Waldron to get promoted to AA, but I loved watching that guy pitch. You don't see the knuckleball very often in the minors, well, or the majors anymore. And you certainly don't see the knuckleball with a guy that can also mix in 93, 94. Mm-hmm. But his last three starts, with the Tin Caps, seven innings, eight innings. I'm probably wrong in this, but I'm not sure there's been a minor league or a major league pitcher whose last three outings were seven, seven, and eight. But we're here to develop them for the Padres and at Petco Park, or who knows, this year in a trade. I don't mean that with Waldron specifically, so to be clear about that. But, you know, I'm sure the Padres are going to be buyers again, but the pitching has been awesome. And we welcome back Guarte, who was, makes his debut with us tonight, but came up at the end of 19 and only made one appearance, but was really good in that one start with five innings or four or five innings and really pitched well for us. And so there's a lot to be excited about, even with some of the promotions. Anderson Espinoza is back and is throwing as hard or harder than ever. And so we know one thing, Contreras will have him ready. And hopefully we keep playing 500 or better.
And injuries have kind of been a little bit of a bug lately. You've had some guys that have had some soreness and had to rest. You've had some guys that have dealt with, I guess there's every phrase in the book. I've heard impingement. I've heard strain. I've heard, you know, soreness. And, you know, and I've heard fatigue. All those things can describe the body at this point in the summertime. And the Tin Caps have dealt with almost all of it. But it seems like maybe some of the guys are getting healthy, getting back on the field. I do want to say this, though, Mike. It's an interesting perspective because even going back to 2019, which was the last full season of Tin Caps baseball, and maybe before that, the Padres were not always aggressive buyers. And it completely changes the perspective at this level because If you're a seller, you get one thing. If you're a buyer, you get another. And the minor leagues really have no control over it. But who knows what's going to happen before the trade deadline?
Yeah, well, we know one thing. Mr. Preller, our buddy, the general manager of the Padres, is going to be active. Whatever that means, we don't know yet. But we've also seen that they've signed their first and second round picks in the last 2 days. The second round high school kid out of Florida just got like $1 million or more over the slot. So not $1 million total, like $2 million. I think the second rounder might have gotten more than the first. The Padres are aggressive. But you said it right. You know, this isn't the best year that we've had on field. I'm not knocking our guys. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm the eternal optimist and have the belief in Contreras and the Padres. So let me say that on the front end. Also in that same statement is, you know, a couple of fans, the diehards, the people that we love out here have said, you know, well, we're a little thin here or there. You know, I'm not going to identify what they said as thin because I don't want to call anybody out. But I said, listen, the Padres, no, there's no excuses here. But you're coming off a year where nobody played, which is legitimate. And then secondly, I said, when you acquire Yu Darvish, when you acquire Snell and Pham and Cronenworth and really a lot more beyond those guys, you have to give up something. I mean, those are frontline major league ball players. And so sometimes, I've told the story on your airwaves a few times, I was at that theme park with my wife and kids, you know, many years ago when we were all a lot younger, and the phone rings, hey, are you at Parkview Field? No, I'm up at the Michigan's Adventure. What's up? Hey, we just traded three guys. Can you meet them back there? And now that's going to have to be somebody else. And so it's just one of those things that I love the trade deadline because I'm a fan. I also don't mind if we don't have a lot of movement on our team because I'm also a minor league executive. But it's really cool to see how they impact different things when you are with a frontline major league team now that probably is going to be a buyer again this year.
How do trades affect guys at this level? I mean, you know, there's going to be guys that know they are possible candidates to be traded because they're sought after by maybe other organizations. Does it get in their heads at all?
Oh, I think it can. And I also think I can tell you this without using names. Somebody will try and figure it out. Maybe they'll be right. But the Padres were pretty active last year. They were active at the deadline. They acquired several people. But, you know, Clevinger for one and some others. And we traded away in one of the deals that was done last year. We, being the Padres traded away a group of guys last year. And Sam Gainey that runs the minor leagues and A.J. Preller that obviously runs the big leagues went out to the alternate site to meet with them themselves. That isn't always the way it's done. You're telling these young guys, you've done everything we've ever asked. These are other major league teams that want you. We want you, but we need to acquire this stuff. I have seen it get in guys' heads. I've seen guys that are speed guys start trying to become, you know, power guys, the Willie Mays Hayes stuff from major league. And it's like, just play your game. You've already beat 99% of the odds to get to high A baseball at the professional level. And there's been scouts here for a long time because I think, my speculation, the industry thinks that the Padres will be buyers again. Mm-hmm. So we have had 10, 12 major league teams represented at a lot of our games the last couple of homestands because people are getting in early and getting their book on all the levels of Padres, but certainly the ones at this level. It's pretty wild to see. I think AC does a great job of just keeping the guys focused on the task, and that's so cliche. What does that mean? That means if you're Juwan Harris, you are a plus defensive player. You are a plus runner. You're a very good hitter. Just do you and don't try and change things. Him as a hypothetical guy on the roster because we're pretty close, where it's just like, hey, you just got to do who you are and don't try and be something else because the deadline's coming up.
Talking to TinCast President Mike Nutter, who's joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. All right, Mike, so we've talked at length about how there was no season a year ago, how you had limits on attendance for the first half of this year. Now things are starting to open up. Slowly fans are coming through the turnstiles and filling up Parkview Field. But that doesn't mean that the finances catch up right away. It was a hard hit on TinCast Baseball, on Hardball Capital. And I know I saw that there was a way for fans to kind of voice their support for the Tin Caps through their local congressman. Is that still available?
It is. We'd love anybody to check out minorleaguebaseballrelief.com, or it's linked from our site. Again, you prefaced it perfectly. We want people to understand we're going to be here. Okay, the Tin Caps are going to be here. But there's a bipartisan thing going on in Washington, and that's not said by a lot of people right now in our country. And it is money that was already earmarked last year for COVID relief. And there's some people on both sides of the aisle that are trying to get it for minor league teams. To qualify, you cannot be owned by a major league team. Some of the stuff I read on social media, why don't they just have the big leagues bail them out? We don't get any financial support from Major League Baseball or the San Diego Padres. Well, the major leagues moved the All-Star game from Atlanta, so they made this bed, they can stay in it. That wasn't us. You know what I mean? We found out about that on Twitter, just like all the friends. And so to qualify, a team needs to show that they lost more than 75% of their revenues from 2019 to 2020. We did. The average minor league team lost 92% of their revenues. And the last thing I would say is two-thirds of minor league teams took on a lot of debt last year to the tune of the average of $1.25 million. Fortunately, Fort Wayne, Tin Caps, and Parkview Field are not in that last category. We've been run well. The support from the fans and the media has been amazing for 13 years. So we're going to make it regardless. But we would sure love fans if they're willing to go there. It takes about 2 minutes. It auto-generates a letter to their congressman or senator, whoever they pick, and we could use the help. People, what would you do with the money? Great question. We would immediately probably hire 5 to 10 full-time staff members to get us back. Hopefully we could find another 100 to 200 part-time people. We could pay off everything on the books. We could go back to a lot more fireworks, promotions, reading program, all that kind of stuff. A guy hit me up earlier today on Twitter. I know what you're doing, Nutter. You guys are lining the owner's pockets. And it's like, it just doesn't work that way. There's specifications put on the money if you're able to get it and things like that. But I appreciate you asking. Listen, I know we live in a conservative area. I love where we live. For some people, it's really tough to, you know, I'm tired of bailouts and handouts. I understand that. We've done it for restaurants and theaters and concert venues. Politicians are talking about minor league baseball, and obviously I'm a little biased, but we'd sure love a chance at it.
You know, it's also brings up the point that I think a lot of people, in fact, I just had someone talk to me about this. They didn't realize the Tin Caps have an ownership group that or an owner that actually owns multiple minor league franchises.
Yeah, and he doesn't have another job, and that's not because he's just so independently wealthy. He represents minor league baseball at the high A level nationally, so he represents all 30 owners. He owns the Columbia, South Carolina Fireflies, the Chattanooga Lookouts, and the Tin Caps, and all three were incredibly hurt very badly. We probably did the best with the food kits and all that stuff that you let me talk about and help promote and things like that. But yeah, it's again, you understand, like, you know, somebody asked me earlier, actually yesterday, well, why are the big leagues carved out from this? Again, we're not anti the big leagues, but those owners are usually worth in the billions of dollars. The minor league teams are not. Some are owned by communities and towns. You know, cities, municipalities can't take on, you know, millions of dollars worth of debt. I would hate to see them lose their teams. It's just a very tough time with the timing of that and some of the changes with the MLB. Again, in Fort Wayne, the response is amazing. We're averaging right around, I'm looking right now, 3,100 a game. I think that'll be over four or close to 4,000 by the time the season ends. It's all relative, so we're going to make it. But if people want to go on there for a couple minutes and help a little, that'd be sure would be great with us. I heard about 65,000 people had signed up nationally. They think to get the politicians' real attention and to keep it on the radar, those are my terms, you know, that you probably need a quarter million or more. And so there's a long road ahead, but we'll see if anything comes of it.
Well, and like I said, with the owner being as committed as he's been to this community and to baseball in general, we certainly, you know, don't want to see what's happened over the last year impact the way he can do business. And it's great to know the Tin Caps are in a position where everything can move forward, but you do like to get back to normal as soon as possible. Thanks, Mike. Always appreciate it. We'll be out at the ballpark this week.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Yep, Mike Nutter joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Tin Caps at home all week long. They've got the promotions all set up. You've got Paws and Claws night coming up tomorrow night. You've got Thirsty Thursday on Thursday. You've got fireworks coming up on Friday night. Of course, it's a special. They can't call it, you know, the Olympics. They can only call it the Games or something like that. So it's a tribute to the Games on Friday night, which we all know is tied into something happening in Tokyo that involves five rings. And then on Saturday, more fireworks. Sunday, the series will finish up with a game on Sunday afternoon. Tickets available at tincapstickets.com. We take a timeout when we come back, talk to one of our area baseball players, a youngster who's made his decision on where he's going to be playing college baseball. And he's from Heritage High School, Dalton Wasson. He joins us next on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Back on the Sports Rush here, daily local sports fix 4 to 6, taking you home on a Tuesday. Of course, Tin Caps Baseball takes over the airwaves tonight, 6:45 the pregame show, and 7:05 the first pitch. Mike Maz on the call for Tin Caps Baseball as they start their series from Parkview Field against the Dayton Dragons. Speaking of baseball, we've got one of the area's talented youngsters that is joining us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. He's from Heritage High School, made his commitment for college baseball. It is Dalton Wasson. Dalton, good afternoon.
Hey,
How are you today, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Real good. Let's talk a little bit about your baseball. You play, of course, out at Heritage for Coach Jeremy Hollinger. And 544 average, you set a school record, 5 dingers, 33 RBIs. You stole 20 bases. You really did it all offensively. But you also balanced that with a heck of a year on the mound. I guess if you look back at your season last year, what stands out for you? What are you? What accomplishment are you most proud of? That record batting average, the 6-1 record. What sticks for you?
Definitely the record for the batting average. I felt like I definitely improved since freshman year, hitting wise, barreling a lot more balls up, and getting a feel for the game.
What type of hitter are you? If somebody said, "How do you? What's your approach? And what type of a hitter do you describe yourself to be? What is that?"
I'm pretty much a gap to gap hitter. And by saying that, I mean I shoot for left center gap and right center gap to get doubles.
So you're a spray it and don't drive it type. I mean, you're not one of these guys that goes with the big swing and the strikeout numbers. You would rather contact, drive it back up the middle of the field. I love that approach. That's a little bit old school based on today's game, but I love it.
Yeah.
As we are joined here on the Sports Rush by Dalton Wasson, you made your decision as far as college. What did it come down to in finalizing where you were going to go to play college baseball?
So we went on a visit, and I knew it was home right away. The campus is beautiful. The coaches were awesome, really responsive. Being a two-way player, just that really decided it right there, being able to hit and pitch.
Now, are you a fan of country music?
Not really, but I'll get into the Swift.
Going down to Nashville, Tennessee to play for Belmont, what are the expectations? What is Belmont looking for from you when you get down there? What type of position, what type of opportunities do you expect at Belmont?
Putting up good numbers, freshman year, and building up, getting, the development right now. Putting up good numbers, hitting it well, pitching it well, pretty much it.
Are you going to have a chance to do both, to both be a hitter and a pitcher at Belmont?
Yeah. The coaches were saying starting third base and getting some starts on the mound.
Wow. That's a rarity in Division I baseball. Generally, that's a specialization that you don't see a whole lot of guys get the opportunity to do both. You're like the Shohei Ohtani of college baseball.
Yeah, I hope so.
You only could wish, right? Hey, yeah. Who is your favorite baseball player?
I'm a Reds fan. And Joey Votto is my favorite player.
I knew with your age and the Reds, it had to be Votto. There's nobody else that it could be. Now, if you go back with the Cincinnati Reds and go back another 25 years or so, 30 years, I could give you a list of guys that you could kind of idolize. But that's my generation, not yours. Well, congratulations, Dalton. And best of luck to you as you head into your senior year. And, of course, the trip then to Belmont to start your baseball career. We'll be following your progress, and best of luck.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Dalton Wasson joining us from Heritage. He'll be a Belmont Bruin when he goes off to college. Rare opportunity. You don't see too many kids that are given that opportunity to earn both time on the mound and time in the field at a third base. So got to be a heck of a ball player. Haven't seen him play, but he's got to be a heck of a player to be able to do both. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. By the numbers tonight, it's the Bucks and Suns, Game 6, Bucks 5-point favorites. That's a tough number because you expect the Bucks may be favored, may have an advantage, and if it's close down the stretch, what will happen? You'll tack on those couple extra free throws, and you'll go from a 2 or 3 point game to a 5 or 6 point game real quick. Those 5-point numbers are so tough for me. If you think that is the team that is going to win, I've been trying to stick by taking the points in this series, and it hasn't worked out all that well for me. Most of the games, the team that wins end up winning by a bigger margin than the actual point spread. So Bucks minus five, I might have to go to an alternate point spread again, Caleb. It paid off for me the other day. I had 6.5, and it ended up being 6, so I was a winner with Phoenix the other day. I might have to do it again and bump it up to maybe 7.5, maybe 8.5. I'll feel more comfortable taking the Suns, but where are you riding tonight? You actually had it right the other day. We both had it right because you took the Bucks with the straight line at minus 4.5, and they covered it. They won by 6. I said I was going to take the Suns, but I was going to take an alternate spread, move the line to 6.5. So in a way, we both hit it, even though we took opposite sides. What do you think about the Bucks tonight, minus 5?
I see them winning by either 4 or 6, but I'm not sure which number. I'm going to say I'll take the Bucks and the points.
The 5 is a tough number.
Yeah.
It is a very tough number. Over under at 222.
I'll go under.
That's, you're looking at what, a 114-108 type of final?
I'll go under because it seems like the Suns offensively have been limited on the road compared to at home.
Let's put it this way. I watched part of the TBT, and when teams get desperate, they really up the defense. And it's there, I think, for the Suns. We just haven't seen enough of it. So I do think tonight could be a very defensive game. Every possession is going to be magnified for both sides. I could see this game being like a 104-99 or 104-100 type of ball game. I think I will lean on the under. I might cheat again, though, and take the alternate over under and bump it up to like 224, 225 just to get a little bit of a safety net. All right, player points. Devin Booker over or under 30.5. I'll take under.
Yeah, I'll take under as well.
Chris Paul, 21.5. I'll take under.
Under.
DeAndre Ayton, 16.5. I'll say yes. that is, I mean, I would say Ayton at about a 16, 17 point guy. I think 16.5 is an absolutely spot on number that is tough to bet.
I'll go under again because I see 16, but no more.
Mikal Bridges at 10.5.
I'll go over. I can see him getting 11 or 12.
That's the neighborhood he's usually in, that 10, 11 point range. Jay Crowder at 10.5. I think I'll go under.
Yeah, I'll take the under.
Crowder isn't a guy that's been counted on for his scoring. What about the Bucks? Giannis's number is 32.5 tonight.
Over.
Really?
Yeah.
Still going over.
Clinching game.
Here's the interesting one. Chris Middleton, 25.5, and I'll just say I'm taking the under on Middleton.
Yes, I agree with you as well.
I mean, if he gets there, it's going to be a lot of fouls that puts him at the free throw line, and that's the only way he goes over. I think 25.5 is too high. I think it's influenced by the big game he had in Game 5. Jrue Holiday, 19.5. Does he have a 20-point game in him again? I don't think so.
No.
I think 17, 18, much more likely than 20 or over. Lopez, 11.5. I don't see that. In fact, Milwaukee has been going more and more, it seems, with a lineup that doesn't even include Lopez on the floor. So I don't know that Lopez is a good bet over 11.5. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't like him going over.
And Connaughton at 8.5, I would go over on him. I mean, all he's got to do is hit 3 threes. And at home, I think that's very possible.
Connaughton. I was like, who?
What did I say? Connaughton?
Yeah.
Connaughton.
Connaughton. He played at Notre Dame. Yeah.
It's like I know his name, eight and a half. I look at it on paper and I pronounce it wrong.
I'll go under. I see 8.
You see 8. Yeah. I see 9. Okay. We'll go. We'll split on that one. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Who do you have tonight? Bucks Suns. Game 6 should be a fun watch tonight. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. It's Tuesday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Just about wrapping it up and putting a bow on this Tuesday edition of the Sports Rush. Coming up tonight, we've got Tin Caps Baseball. Mike Moss standing by downtown Parkview Field. Tickets still available. Good crowd expected for a Tuesday night. Mike Nutter told us that over 4,000 tickets already sold for tonight's game, so it could be 4,500 to 5,000 people in the building for a Tuesday. Good start to the homestand this week as the Tin Caps take on the Dayton Dragons. And game time, 7:05. Mike Maz on the call for Tin Caps Baseball right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Also, don't forget to get online at 1380thefan.com. Join us for the Tin Caps Treetops Party with the Sports Rush. Kayla and I will be there on August 12th. You can join us up in the treetop section, high above the Lincoln Event Center, up by the parking garage, by the scoreboard. We'll have our own little party going on during Tin Caps Baseball on August 12th. Tickets will include an all-you-can-eat buffet, draft beer, wine, and a commemorative T-shirt. To get your ticket, go to 1380thefan.com. Proceeds to benefit the Cancer Services of Northeast Indiana. Thanks to the guests that appeared on the show today, including Ball State Cardinals football coach Mike New. Also thanks to Tin Caps president Mike Nutter and from Heritage Baseball, Dalton Wasson. We come back with a Hump Day edition tomorrow as we cruise through this work week. Big day here at Federated Media. We're going to have our big company party tomorrow, so we'll see if we get on the air or not. They allow us on the air if the FCC takes us off the air. This has been the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.